Welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm Sri Devi, and tonight I am joined by Jen to talk about some very exciting recent events happening with the girls in Cantalumba. Hello, Jen.
Hey, Sri Devi. Wow.
Yes, wow, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. So it's so funny because just I'm making sure all the technology is right on the computer, and so that had me at the last minute. I have to read this email to you. I know you know the one I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so the big news is that the girls, the first two girls, so we had four girls graduate in the program from grade 12, and that was huge, and I think we talked about that. I think we had you on the show, actually, talking about how huge that is and what an amazing accomplishment, just that. I mean, these are girls that we have known since they were, what, at our knee, pretty much, right?
Yes.
And so so four of them graduated from grade 12, and then two of them got high enough marks on their exams that they were ready to go straight on to college. They follow the sort of more British system of education. And so the way it works for them is that they go straight from grade 12 to, you know, in this case, they were interested in nursing school, or they might go to teaching school, or, you know, that sort of thing. And so they decided to look down that path and see what was open to them. And with the first round of acceptance letters, they did not get accepted. And so we weren't all that surprised by that, because there's a way in which, you know, this is the first group of girls who have gone through this process. They're up against so much. I mean, I think we've talked about that in any number of times, of just the hurdles that these girls have. And so they're now competing as they go on to these nursing schools. They're competing with girls from all over the country, including girls who have as much resources as kids in the United States, you know, people who come from families that are very affluent and have had all the opportunities, and, you know, that they were speaking English from when they were tiny, and, you know, just all of those things. Well, that was fine, you know, kind of practicing with what is and looking to see what's next. But then this amazing miracle happened where through a series of events, both of our girls got accepted in a second round of acceptances in this nursing school. And I cannot tell you how much excitement there has been on the team about this amazing thing. Just that place of, wow, I knew, you know, all of us leading up to it had a sense of what a big moment this is. But I don't think we really got it until suddenly it was time for them to go. And the excitement and enthusiasm from the team as they were headed out has been incredibly extraordinary. And so we just wanted to come on tonight and to tell people the good news and to share with people what an extraordinary accomplishment this is. Because as Teresa says, you know, yes, it's an accomplishment of these two girls. And it's an accomplishment of all of the teachers who have been supporting them, especially in the last year. But it's so much bigger than that. And it really involves everyone in the entire Sangha and beyond who have supported the program thus far.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Jen, what was dropping in as you were saying that around how big of an accomplishment it is, and I wonder if this is something you could speak to a little bit more, is, you know, one of the things Teresa said to me about this happening was how much of a culture change that I projected, a culture change, it says, because people were coming up to her saying, when you started this girls program, we thought, why bother with girls? Like, nothing, they're not going to amount to anything. Nothing is going to happen. And now they're coming up to her saying, look at what you've accomplished. And just that emphasis around why the girls program even exists, you know, in how it's moved forward, this conversation, dialogue, and experience of what it is to support girls.
So one of the things that for me really illustrates that is that, all of this, because of how it happened, it all happened very suddenly. I mean, we really had sort of adjusted to the fact that, okay, so it's not going to be nursing school right now, so what is going to be the next step? And then suddenly, I mean, it all happened. But Teresa found out that there was this other thing going on, that there were these two spaces. And within a week, the girls needed to be reporting. And so what that meant was, okay, we need the tuition money. We need the money for these certain supplies. You know, they need to show up with their stethoscope. They need their, I mean, it was all of these different things. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was so moving was to see the community rally and to see them go to their parents, their aunties, their uncles, their cousins, their friend, their neighbors, you know, everyone, and to watch the community pitch in and just that sense, exactly as you say, that going from a place where, you know, what little resources families do have absolutely go into, quote, the investment of educating your boys, to a really big mindset shift of people seeing, wow, there's a lot of potential here in these girls, and the entire community really coming together with 50 kwacha here and 50 kwacha meanwhile, which translates to about $5. So what would seem to us like a small amount, but to someone who is, you know, just pulling enough money together to eat, that's a huge amount of money. And so 50 kwacha here, 30 kwacha there, 5 kwacha there, everyone pitching in together, seeing the investment and making it happen for these girls. And can I read you the email, Shrude, because
oh,
I found
yes,
it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Please do.
So Teresa writes, "Dear Jen and all, good news, exclamation mark, good news, exclamation mark. There was celebration as the team members danced and ululated as the girls with their parents boarded the car we borrowed from Lewis to take them to Lawancha. Lawancha is the place where the school is. We gathered outside the property and made a circle holding hands, and then Beatrice prayed for the girls. It was so emotional. The emotions of excitement, tears, flowed from the faces of the team members as they said goodbye to the girls. I so wish you were here to witness this, the first for Living Compassion. The girls are now in Lawancha, and tomorrow they are going to report for classes. I will be sending photos tomorrow of the girls. The team is doing wonderful, and all work is going on perfectly. More in photos, with excitement and thanks to all, Teresa."
Wow.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just amazing. And I think they've been in college for two weeks now, maybe
yep.
3 weeks. And I just happened to talk to Teresa for a couple of moments today. And she's quite excited because this Saturday, she and some of the cooperative members are taking a trip to go out and visit the girls and see how they're doing.
How much would you pay to be on that field trip?
I yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I was wondering, Jen, do you want to share at all, like, where the girls are? Or, you know, I know Lawancha is a little bit farther away for people who may not know. It's, I think it's an hour or two away from Cantalomba, and just kind of what they transitioned to.
Yes, absolutely. And Shridevi, let me do a sound check. How's the sound quality on my end?
I can hear you great.
Okay, great. So, yes, exactly so. So Lawancha is, I would say, so Ndola, where the program, where the project is, Cantalomba is outside of Ndola, which is the second largest city in Zambia. By sort of U.S. standards, it would be more like a large town. And then Lawancha is a large town in the same province. And so it's, as you say, about an hour's drive away. So it's far enough away that they can't commute there. That wouldn't be workable for the situation they're in. And so what they're doing, actually, is they're essentially boarding with a local family. And I guess this is very common, especially around places that have colleges, where there's kind of an auntie, they'll often call her, where there's a woman who's renting out rooms to students. But it's more than, it's, I think, at least from what I know, an unusual situation in the United States where she also cooks for them, and she's kind of watching over them a little bit like a house mother. And in this case, they've chosen a house where it's all girls, which we were all very supportive of, including the girls themselves. That's what they wanted. And they have cell phones now, so that's such a good technology because, of course, Teresa can be in touch with them every day. And so because, as you say, they've made this giant transition from living in a place where they don't have electricity, they don't have running water, you know, this, the sort of things that a lot of us are very used to, they've never had. And so they're now going to be living in a place where they have all of that. They're around people who have had that their whole lives. They're, you know, they're in nursing school, so they're now going to be exposed to, in some cases, sort of like very leading edge technologies. And so it'll be a giant adjustment for them. And I know for Teresa and for the whole team, it's going to be new for them as well. I mean, it's new for us. It's new for the whole project. And there's such a commitment to really, for all of us, to stay really eyes wide open, very aware, and to see what is needed in this transition. And I think these girls are very aware that they're pioneers, and that one of the things we have a commitment to is that the girls who are coming behind them, like the girls who are in grade 11 and grade 12, I mean, sorry, yeah, 12 this year and grade 11 this year, will be taking field trips and even overnights to go spend time with the girls who are in nursing school. And this is one of the things that gives me goosebumps, because it's what we've known, that as we take each one of these first milestones, these pioneer girls are now really paving the way for the girls who are coming behind them. And, you know, in 5 years, it'll be completely normal. That's just what you do. Oh, yeah, finish. Of course you finish grade 12, and of course you go on to do whatever you want to do, and there'll be a much fewer sort of psychological hurdles, I think.
Yeah, and I would just add on to that. I think that inspiration, now that they have the experience of seeing girls in the community, girls that they know, girls that they've studied with, girls that are from the Living Compassion program, to be able to go and do that, I've heard that the other girls, you know, the girls in grade 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, are like, we're going to do that too. We're really serious. We're even more serious now. And that's just, it's really exciting. It's really exciting to see what is possible, and for them to get to see and experience for themselves what is happening there.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I just love that. It really is paving the way. I mean, it's so much like practice, right? We need those folks who come before us who light the way. And I mean, if we look at the monastery as an example, my goodness, I mean, all those folks who talk about no running water and no electricity, right? And yet when I came on the monastery property, I just, with the flick of a light switch, I could turn on the lights and I could, you know, have running water from the tap, and I could walk into a meditation hall that was warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And so it's such a parallel experience to Sangha in that way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Jen, I think we're right just over the hour. So is there anything else that you think would be helpful for anyone to know?
Just, you've got to go to that blog that Teresa writes to see those photos.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they fun? Oh,
my gosh. Yes. They, I mean, the smiles on their faces, yeah, I feel like reflect right back to the smiles on our faces when you get to see it. I mean, just those girls in their clothes and their sweatshirts and their backpacks and their white lab coats, it's the best. It's the best.
Yeah. And I think the photos themselves are such an indication of the excitement, because it's like, well, here they are in the reception room, and here they are, and here's the bus that goes with the school, and here's the, right? It's like every iteration that they possibly could have taken. All the photos are there. And so for folks who don't know, that's livingcompassion.org. Then you go to the, you know, there's that beautiful wheel on the homepage. You go to the Africa section, and in there, I think it's news from Cantalumba or something like that. But it's relatively intuitive to get there, I think, to navigate through and to find the news from Cantalumba. So I highly recommend people going to check that out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Jen. This is so much
thank
fun.
Thank you, Sue Davey.
Great. Yeah. All right, so I think this is when we say we turn it over.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Thanks, Sue Davey.
All right, thanks, Jen.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And as Sue Davey said, we would normally be handing it over to Michael, but I have the great good fortune of getting to host the show again today. So I will say welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber, and good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Jen. Wow.
So,
I know, I listen to you talk, the two of you, and you're very clear and very articulate, and there are just no words that can communicate what a big deal this is. That these are girls who would have been pregnant by 13 or 14. That by the time they are the age they are now, they would have a couple of babies. They would probably be infected with HIV. They would be facing a life of abject poverty and however many probably, well, of course, we help them not. The babies, we help the babies be born without HIV at this point. But it's just, I mean, it's staggering. Yep. To see that transformation. And when you two talk about, the younger ones coming up, that now, we used to talk about this, they just do the kind of polite African version of roll your eyes. Because what are you talking about? There are no jobs. There is no future. There's no future for the boys. Why would you ever think in terms of girls? Yeah. Even in relatively affluent, we could say, areas, not the kind of slum that Cantalomba is, but still, why would you educate girls?
Exactly.
Why would you do that? There's all they're going to do is get married, have babies. There's just no sense in educating them. And to see these now and to hear the younger ones, I'm going to do it too. And the commitment is, I'm not going to get pregnant.
Yes.
That's the big commitment right there, because, that was the only path that anyone saw ahead of herself.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just hoping that, we get the same, I hope the boys are saying, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that too.
Yeah, and here's the reality even now, Sherry, that it's one of those things where you find out as you go that there are boys in the community who get sponsorship from random, a church here and a haha there, and it's never the girls. So it always reminds me of this is such a good move, because as I was talking to her, Teresa, through all of these different iterations of what's going on, and she would say, so-and-so, this family's son, got sponsorship from such and such. So, yes, exactly so. Wow. And I think the boys do, they get
well,
that.
Well, then let's just say our boys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We want our boys to get inspired and step up in that way because they're ours.
Yeah.
That's
and,
why. I'm happy for anybody. For anybody who finds a way out of there.
But as you were talking, I was just thinking one of the really big illustrations of the pull that there is for those girls to do all those things you were talking about was so poignantly illustrated for me when there was that period of time where it looked like they weren't going to be able to go to nursing school this year. And what they said to Teresa is, we need help, Auntie. We can't last another year here with nothing to do. We can't do it. They know what they're up against. They know the pull. It's
the
just
pressure.
Attractive. I need help. I cannot do this by myself.
And that's why we all hopped on board with, okay, get them out of there.
Exactly. Whatever it takes.
Send them somewhere. They've made it this far. My God, they can't. They can't not be supported at this juncture. So very exciting, really thrilling, and congratulations to you, to Sri Devi, to because the two of you mostly at this point, the stalwarts, the support for Teresa on a daily basis to do what she's doing so magnificently.
She really is just heroes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. So I do have announcements for us.
All right.
And the first one is that the Project Joy app, which offers a year-long retreat for training the attention to reside in the present, is now available at the Google Play and App Stores. And it includes a daily assignment and a recording of Project Joy retreat participants sharing insights and asking you questions, Sherry. And you can use your phone to record the insights as you practice the assignments.
It's a complete program, isn't it? It's extraordinary. I'm so excited about it.
And as I was they are exciting times. And, you know, we are speaking of exciting times. We're in a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat currently, which is incredibly fabulous. And that place of training to the attention to reside in the present, I mean, that's just basically what we keep talking about over and over and over in different forms. So
fun
that there's that app.
I will tell you that I'm going to get that app because I have been working on a revised edition of the depression book and the new communication book, and I'm talking about the same thing. That's
all
it comes down to. We have to train our attention away from conditioned mind and to the present. It's the whole deal. It's
really
the difference between suffering and happiness.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
It is. And I think this next one is going to speak to it also. So coming up in August, a six-week conference call retreat in recording and listening training will teach six key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative, and a new class begins August 28th.
It's essential. It's the deal.
It is. And then, if you want to join us in person, explore all of those emotions you're never allowed to truly examine at the When You're Falling Dive retreat, guided by Sherry and Ashwini in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. The retreat runs from September 1st through the 6th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you.
That's it. It's a good time. Come on.
Exactly.
Come on, everybody.
And then a step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, which is September 29th through October 6th, and it's right here at the monastery in Murphy's, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. The retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk.
And for those who are there currently, the temperatures will be a lot better.
they really will. It's a practice and we have no control. And for these and other opportunities, you can visit livingcompassion.org. So a reminder, as always, that if you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And it's helpful to stick to one topic in about 5 minutes. So let's go to our first caller. First caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good afternoon, Jen. Hi, Sherry. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey. Wow.
I know. It's thrilling, isn't it?
Yeah, thrilling. That good news update, I'm just overwhelmed with emotion to hear that transformation and to feel like I've been in that journey along the way, remembering when the first project began, well over a decade ago. Wow. And to follow it along and to be at a few of the bridge walks and involved in some of the fun.
Is there something playing in the background,
really...
Todd?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Are we better?
Sounded like a funny little echo. There.
I have a voice-activated clock, and sometimes picks up words and it makes noises. So that's what it was.
Tell her to be quiet.
I shouldn't say time. Clock, be quiet. So,
Jen,
to share these
clock,
these
to be quiet.
Are we good?
Todd? Todd, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, you're strobing like a computer, kind of a strobing.
Oh,
are you
dear.
On a computer?
Yeah, I'm on. I'm on the app, Star Meeting app via Wi-Fi.
Okay, well, and of course, now that we're talking about that, it's perfect.
I just moved to the window, so I'm out in the country, okay. So I'm at the mercy of technology, but I'll do my best. I'll stand still and hold the phone up at a...
Great, sounds good right now.
That's my technique, too. Hold the phone out the window.
Yeah, and point it towards the router. So, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm how Jen and Sridevi talked about how the community really rallied, and I feel so part of Sangha and part of that community, even though I'm across the Atlantic. To be a part of that is very emotional, and that there is no self and other kind of comes up. There's no separation. We're all one.
It reminds me, Todd, of the what universe are you creating? The sympathetic joy. I think that's what right. That we just be so happy for other people's success and well-being. That there's no they're having a good time, but I'm not. Right? I mean, we just, it's like we're all going. We're all successful, and we're all making the journey, and it's just a really good time.
Yeah. Yes, a really good time, and I went right there with them. I had the opportunity to go to university, 4-year program, and just so excited when I put my applications out and got accepted to the college of my choice at the time, and to take just to be a freshman and go in there and all the unknowns and real step up from high school.
Yeah.
And but coming from extreme privilege, financially never an issue. I didn't have to do any fundraising or go around to the community and get money for it. But to just know that people are giving up, which to them, as was discussed in a Good News Update, that some of them were actually giving away some of their food money. Wow, that's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That's how important it was to them.
Well, and it speaks to what you're talking about, the oneness.
Yeah,
that all of Cantalomba, certainly all of Living Compassion Cantalomba, is going with those girls. This is all of us. These are our girls, and this is us. This is our community. This is what we've accomplished.
Yes,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it truly is. It truly is. And for so long, without practice, and even well into practice, I felt so separate and isolated and not a part of for so long. And then through going to retreats and participating in every practice opportunity possible and, going and doing that your practice retreat and then going as a visiting monk, to feel a part of a sangha, a part of this world, and in that inclusivity, that inclusiveness that conditioning always talked me out of and would rally against always.
Yeah.
That it's
your practice.
Yes.
At this point, it's your monastery, right?
Yes.
As much as anybody else's. I mean, it's yours. It's your home. Your spiritual home.
My spiritual home. Mm-hmm. My spiritual home, which I'm looking forward to returning to very soon. So I'll say see you soon.
All right. See you soon, Todd. Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Me too.
Thank
you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, go happy.
Go happy. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. That's, I think, the second time sympathetic joy has come up today, Sherry.
Oh.
It came up in the radio show this morning, if I'm not mistaken. And I just love that.
That's so long
ago. I know, exactly. 3 weeks ago. but that place where we're all going to school. And that's that place in practice where, someone sees something and we all go there. And someone's going through something, struggling with something, and we all go with it, together. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. and all pulling for one another's success, well-being, because it's because it's all of us.
It's all of us. Yeah.
And that you know, Todd's point is such an important one. The way ego pushes back against that. No, no, you don't belong. That's not you. That you're different. You're because of course when we realize that being separated out in that way, being isolated with that negativity is not where we want to live, then ego is just kind of done for.
Exactly, exactly. Because if we, quote, lose ourselves in that sympathetic joy, I mean, we're just going to be right here, happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's exactly what I project we talk about when we say happy to be here. It's not that everything's always perfect and it always goes my way. It's happy to be here. In whatever's here with all that is.
Yes. Yeah. And a synonym for happy is grateful.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Whatever it is, I'm grateful to be alive. I'm happy to be alive. Where there's life, there's hope.
Yes. Yes. Exactly so. All right. Well, let's see. We can bring our next caller on. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hmm.
Are you there?
Hello, Jen and Sherry. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff, you sound like you're much farther away than North Carolina.
Do I still sound far away?
No, much closer. Much
okay,
better.
Okay, very good. Sorry.
Perfect.
You were in, the phone was in my pocket and muted and all of that sort of thing.
It was having trouble getting here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was wondering, I really had a sense I might get on. Wow, what just so extraordinary that story and all that is happening and all the work that has brought things to this point. What I really want to focus on about that is, for the moment, is just everything that you have all been saying about it. It is all of us, how the ego just melts away in that big we.
Mm-hmm.
That we're all there, you know, at that nursing school. With those girls, we're all there with the team in Cantalomba, you know, everybody pulling together, you know, giving their 50 kwacha here and all of that. You know, we're all on those calls with Jen and Sridevi to Teresa, you know, we're it's just, you know, and everybody with their fundraisers, you know, and everything else, you know.
And you know, Jeff, with that, when we first came to Cantalomba, of course, you know, there was no medical care at all. If somebody was desperately ill, they were put in a wheelbarrow and wheeled down some dirt road, God knows how far, to a place where they would very often get a prescription that they could not read, that they were supposed to take somewhere to get medicine that they could not afford. And when we brought the first nurse onto that property, what a change to help people with just basic, simple kinds of how to take care of a cut, how to make sure the water is clean, how to, you know, just stuff that is so understood and automatic for us that it would never occur to us that there are people who don't have access to things like a Band-Aid, like soap to clean a cut. And so not only is it extraordinary that this is happening for these girls, but the potential for a difference that they are going to make when they receive that education and they go out yeah. into the world, wherever they're going, to offer that knowledge to people who have never had access to it. It just ripples on out mm-hmm. in an mm-hmm. extraordinary way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. There's so many aspects of it I want to talk about, but two of them. One is that, as you say, the ripples, and just the clarity that if we could help these first two girls be successful,
mm-hmm.
that would transform this community
mm-hmm.
because all these other girls mm-hmm. would see that, and the boys too, and the mm-hmm. entire community is seeing mm-hmm. it. I mean, it's so evident in how everybody, you know, no matter if I have to go hungry today, I'm going to support these girls in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The clarity about all these, things that we needed to do to the girls' program, the English, and so much more that I can't pull up now, and so much that I'm sure that I don't even know about. But that's one aspect. Of the step-by-step and the incredible patience and staying, I mean, for Living Compassion to stay committed to this community for this period of time and, for the people on that side of the Atlantic to know that the support is here and it's going to be here, just so many things. And we're not imposing this from some better idea we have about how, it's the program is being run by the people of the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's another unbelievable aspect
mm-hmm.
that is so different from how things are usually done. And the last thing I want to mention is the what I project, what I imagine is the effort and dedication that it takes to communicate all of this to us in a way that we do get it. Now,
mm-hmm.
I don't Not that we know what it's really like to live in Cantalomba for those of us who live privileged lives, but so much effort is given to communicating through the blogs, through the pictures, through these conversations, so that it is a big, oh my gosh, is this really happening? And kind of the momentousness of this is communicated, so much that, I'm crying. It's just thank you and to Jen and to Sri Devi and to everyone for that.
And aren't we extraordinarily fortunate to have an experience like this in our lives?
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
that it brings such joy. It is such an experience of goodness and of possibility. For a while, of course, it was around all the time. I think it's Margaret Mead. Never underestimate what a small group of people, dedicated people, could. That one. This is just such proof of it, that, as you say, the people uh-huh. who started this and then just never quit, just kept on going. And so all these years later, it has blossomed into this extraordinary thing for all of us. And wow. And I think Jen Tridevi, one or both of them, made the point that it is such an expression of practice. Because when we start out, the negativity in the head, the ego's resistance is just enormous. And if we just keep going, if we just keep showing up, one foot in front of the other, as they say, regardless of what the voices are saying, wonderful things are going to come of it. It is inevitable. Wow. It's not something we have to hope for or wonder about. It is a foregone conclusion. It will happen. We just have to not quit.
Wow, that is so great.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sherry. Yeah, thank you. Right. Thank you, Jen.
Go happy.
Thank you, Jeff.
Go happy.
Go happy. Thanks for joining us. And Sherry, that's exactly what I was saying too, that point you were just making, that it is an extraordinary content. It is. What feels incredibly extraordinary is that it's a process, and it's a process that can be applied to anything. And I just kept thinking, as you were talking, the Buddha practiced until the day he died. That's what kept coming through for me. That's ultimately what I think is so magnificent to people about something like this is, it's that just moment by moment by moment by moment, just staying right here, staying right here, not getting pulled off into a conversation. That's really all it is.
Yeah. I choose unconditional love. I choose unconditional love. Will this happen? I don't care. I choose unconditional love. That is not my problem. That's not my issue. My only issue is I choose unconditional love.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
And then life does all the rest. I mean, really, it does.
Yep.
Truly, right? It just takes us all these beautiful directions.
Oh, yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. All we have to do is show up and say yes. Well, but I've got these problems. Yeah, well, show up and say yes to them. Choose unconditional love. right there.
Yeah.
Don't get lost in a conversation about what's wrong. Just stay right there. Yes, I choose unconditional love. And the magic will happen. It's guaranteed.
Yeah, I love that. What you were saying, it's inevitable. It's absolutely
inevitable.
It's my experience. Yeah. All right, well, we are going to take a short break to hear from our recording and listening training program, and then we'll be back.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation in conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, we have some more callers here, so let's see who we've got next. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
It's Ramita. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Ramita.
I am so happy to be here. I've had a kind of busy, kind of crazy, chaotic day and almost got distracted into television and putting my feet up on the couch. I said, nope, it's just about time for opening.
Not doing
air.
That.
No, I'm sitting on the couch and with my cat.
You can have your feet up.
Heart. Exactly. And I'm just so filled with gratitude for that, recognizing the distraction that's not what serves me, not what takes care of me, and mm-hmm. being right here with you with the some of the best news I've heard in a long time. And mm-hmm. I am so filled and softened, and just my eyes are leaking, and everything is just really, really good.
One of those, this is how we know this is good.
yeah, everything mm-hmm. is going everywhere. And, you know, mm-hmm. talking about not stopping, not giving up, you know, that process, it really applies everywhere, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. It does. If somebody wants to get a big insight about how things work, that's one. That voice in the head is constantly talking about quitting. Now, it's not talking about quitting watching TV, right? Although it might,
no.
If you've been watching after it's talked you into watching TV all evening, then it might talk to you about how you shouldn't have done that. But what it talks us into quitting is anything that's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Mm-hmm. That's what it's angling for all the time. It's too hard. It's not working. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. Just quit. Just quit. Surely everything is going to be better if you just quit. And of course, as most of us who've lived any time at all have noticed, if we stop and look at it, quitting doesn't help anything except ego.
Nope. It just feeds that self-hating mechanism, and
mm-hmm.
we get further and further away from the heart and
mm-hmm.
what it means to be an authentic human being. And
mm-hmm.
my goodness,
mm-hmm.
the rewards.
Yeah, but if we just stay, right? If we just don't quit. So, I've decided that I'm going to, I don't know what I'm going to do, anything that's good for me. I'm going to record and listen every day. And then I don't, because I get talked out of it. And then the voice says, well, just give it up. You know, you've tried. You're just not good at that stuff. Just, no, actually. Find something else. There must be some. Get on the internet. There must be something else out there that would work for you. And I say, no, actually, this is what I've committed to, so I'm just going to start again. Now is a perfect time to start again.
And we have every moment we can start fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
And life sinks in. You know, I have that image of, you know, walking with a heavy coat through the mist. It just, life just keeps soaking into us. And
mm-hmm.
when I show up, I'm available and life gets to work on me. And I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what the end result. There is no end result. It's just the process.
Right. Yeah, as far as we can tell. Which is why it's so important to enjoy the process. Right? To enjoy what we're seeing, what we're learning, what we're realizing. That there. What end? I don't care. You know, I enjoyed the last moment. I'm enjoying this moment. I plan on enjoying the next moment. Why do I want to get finished with anything?
You know, I spent some time at the monastery recently, and the phrase that sort of opened things up for me, there's always something in a retreat or something that just sort of crystallizes and comes together. It's like a new layer of soap, of saturation. It was be with what is. And I've heard
mm-hmm.
you, and I've heard Ashwini, I've heard everyone say that. But
mm-hmm.
I got it, and just the mentor just offering that phrase up over and over, you know, be with what is. It doesn't have to change in any way. The only change is be with it. Be right here
mm-hmm.
with this.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're a human being, and this is life. Be with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
mean, we're alive. Why would we not want to be with life? Yeah. Well, because it's going to be hard or painful or ugly or depressing or no, it's not. That's a conversation. When we're actually with what is,
it's like we tap into that joy, that sympathetic joy, that fundamental suchness that connects us all. And even when there's pain or there's disappointment or whatever, it's still an experience of being alive with all of its sensationalism and everything except the conversation. Well, the conversation is part of it, but it's just such a tiny little part. I can be with that too. I don't have to give it any
attention. Yeah, it's a tiny little part. Yeah, it's that TV. It's playing downstairs in the back of the basement behind a few closed doors. You don't have to go down there and turn it off, but you also don't have to pay any attention to it. It's fine. It's there. Okay. Yeah, but I want to be here with this, with what's actually going on, not a conversation about it. Not thinking about it, actually being here with it. It's very different, right? It's not metaphorical.
Yeah,
is that
what you think? It's not
right.
What you think.
It's not what you think. Yeah. We don't need that distancing from life to think about it, or to talk to ourselves about it, or to listen to a conversation in our head about it. That's not life. We got to get through that in order actually to be in life, to be with what is. Yeah. So exciting.
Yeah. I am so grateful. Thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you, Ramita. Oh, and you know, I had this thought when you came on that I bet, given that you've devoted your life to nursing, there's a special thrill. With these girls are
colleagues,
right? Exactly,
these colleagues. Yeah. You know, and the pleasure that I've gotten from my career, and to see that being ignited in them, with against so many odds. Oh my God!
Yeah.
And just wish them, wish them from the bottom of my heart.
Every good thing.
And
yeah.
And then that giving and receiving, you know, okay, I've been part of this. Thank you, Todd, for mentioning the fundraising, because I sort of, I've been doing a monthly thing, but I've done fundraising too. And and how much conditioning doesn't want to see me as part of their success. And,
That their colleagues, they're colleagues and they're also family, right, in that way that...
Yes.
You know, because that's what we do when we have kids in our family. We make sure that they have an education, they get a start in life. That's what family does, and that's what we are to these kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, just thought about you and your young colleagues there. Thank you, Ramita.
Absolutely. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. I had the same thought, Sherry, and just that place where you know technology is going to get better and better and better, to where Ramita's going to be able to be on the whatever with those gals, you know, supporting them and exchanging ideas and, you know,
encouraging, because it's not an easy choice. You know, it's hard work and a lot of difficult, painful kinds of places that one gets into with a career like that. So,
Oh, exciting. All right. Well, let's see who our next caller is.
It's like Christmas, isn't it? Let's see.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah. Another gift.
Another gift.
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
I was not ready. To get on tonight, but I put myself in the queue anyway.
There you go. That's the best time to put yourself in the queue, isn't it? When conditioning isn't ready.
Yeah, but a couple of things. So right now I'm surrendering.
You're what?
I'm surrendering.
Oh, that's a very good thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Zen is the middle way. It's finding that balance between don't give up and surrender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And ego has no interest in surrendering.
No.
In my experience.
Never. Never. No. Of course not.
Yeah, and a couple... Okay, this is a bad physical day. And you can hear it in my voice and in my breath. One of the things that has really helped me get to this point is I don't think you probably have any memory of this whatsoever, but in the first or second bridge walk, when we were climbing the hill to get mm-hmm. to the top to have the gathering, I remember mm-hmm. huffing and puffing my way up the hill and getting just to the top and thinking, gosh, I made it and I can relax. And you were standing there and you said, okay, well, can you take this, you know, another 400 yards up the hill? And
I was trying to figure out where we were, but I'm right there with you. And you did it. You did it.
I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think I could.
Mm-hmm.
And during the last couple years when I've been doing this process, there have been so many points where I've reached the top of the hill and I'm done. And I just remember mm-hmm. that, and I go mm-hmm. that little bit further.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Boy, those are the life-changing moments for us, aren't they?
Well, you never know which ones
say, are. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But looking back, they're the ones where the voices were saying, you can't, it's too hard, you won't, just give up, no. And you make that extra effort, and you make it, and you're changed. You're different. You can trust yourself in a whole new way.
Yeah.
You'll be there for yourself. You will choose yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and thank you for that. Because, you know, I have this soft part that likes to give up, which mm-hmm. is not the same as surrender.
No, no. And it's that's such a good point. Because ego giving up has nothing to do with surrender, right? It's a giving up that is a taking possession, right?
Yes.
So if it can talk you into giving up, it owns you.
Yes. Yes. Like you never finished the book, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And once it gets us in that position, it knows that it controls us. It knows that it can make us do what it wants. So if it doesn't want us to get to the top of that hill or finish the book, it knows that it can start a campaign that will make us quit. And when that happens, wow, that's a sad place in a life.
And it seems like it's all, that there's never going to be anything else.
Mm.
This morning, waking up, I was done. I don't want to do another day.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I got out of bed
mm-hmm.
and made it out the door. And I worked today, and I worked really slowly, but I did it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mentioned that I was working on the revision of the depression book earlier today, and I was looking at that when back in that time of my life, that realization that just getting up and moving, we're not accomplishing something here. There are no standards. We don't get to compare. It's just, as you say, you work today. There. That's it.
Yes. And I rested in my practice. Once I got to work, I could rest in my practice and let my practice carry me. Because, you know, I think I'm at 17 years of working meditation with a broom. I'm not positive of that number, but...
somewhere around there.
Yeah, but I could rest in it, which, you know, is how did how it happened. Because if my ego had tried to do it, I could, I wouldn't be able to work another day.
Exactly. Well, the ego is what doesn't want you to get out of bed. And that, right, that's the power of just, you know, drop all the standards, drop all the comparisons, the conversation, and just let's get her out of bed. Let's just get her out of bed. Let's just get her upright. Let's just take the next step, the next step, the next step. That's all we're doing here. Just be here for this one. Be here for this step. Be here for this step.
And where the surrender comes in is this is what's going on.
That's
this
right.
is what I have to work with.
Yes.
It's
and
not
what we,
ever going to be any different.
Well, and what we surrender is the conversation. Right? That's what we're that's what we're letting go. That's what we're giving up. But give up that. Give up the comparison. Give up the judgment. Give up the how it should be and what you can do and what you can't do. Surrender all of that.
Yes.
And just be present with what you can do in this moment.
I don't know
with
how
loving
you do
kindness.
It, but I always come to gratitude.
That's who you are. That's where you live. That's why you get there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that never changes.
Never changes. Doesn't No. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I am grateful. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Let's stay in touch, shall we?
I'm trying.
Okay,
I'm in line every week, every day.
Good. Yeah, and when those voices say, oh, don't get in the queue, hit that button. Yeah. And then we let life take care of it. If it's a good time for us to have a conversation, we'll have a conversation. If not, you'll hear us, you know, other people talking.
Yeah.
But we do our part. We show up.
I show up. I dial the phone.
That's right. You dial the phone, you hit the little button. There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, I know you're taking care of yourself, so but I'm going to say it anyway. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you. You too.
All right. All right. Good night, Beth.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. Oh, my gosh, Trey, that was an amazing conversation. And that line, that's one of for the wall in big, huge letters. What we're surrendering is the conversation, period. And we get everything in that surrender. We receive everything. Wow. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we do have time for another caller, so let's see who we've got. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello, this is Kim calling from Vashon Island.
Hello, Kim.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Jen. I'm getting that rush of didn't expect to get on.
Boy, am
which
I
is
alive.
Really,
whee!
Yeah, I am so whee! Alive. So my question is revolving a little bit around our work with how you do anything is how you do everything. And the past several questions
Kim, let me interrupt you because not everybody's going to know what you're talking about.
Oh.
So every morning, right, 5 days a week on Pacific Coast time, we do a show like this, right? And and the subject of it is the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything workbook. So we do exercises from that book. We do one a day, and then on a day, and then the next day we get together and we talk about it. So go ahead, Kim.
Yes. Thank you. So the question that really got me going was about the person that comes to mind when you think of guilt. And what came up for me was my son, because I had felt guilty because I wasn't able to attend a concert that was very important to him. And there were extenuating circumstances, and I felt so guilty. And I realized that it was all a conversation. It was all intended to make me feel bad. It was all intended to separate me and to, you know, on and on. However, the reinforcement that came from him and from other people in my family about being, you know, it gets into the bad parent story.
Well, let me ask you this, Kim.
Yes.
Did you just blow it off?
No.
I mean,
no.
Did you just say, oh, sorry, kid, I know this is really deeply important to you, but I have this manicure appointment. Was it something like that?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. You would have been there if you could have been there.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was really hard for you not to be there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was able to explain that as well and just, you know, and say, I'm really disappointed that I didn't get to come. And I know you're really disappointed that I didn't get to come. And I will do my darndest to get there the next time, you know, this concert comes around. And have I ever missed a concert of yours before? No.
Yes.
So, but what I guess the question I'm asking is that, so, and then other people chiming in, my daughter chimed in, yeah, well, you're just neglectful sometimes. And, you know, and then the husband chimes in. And so the outside voices were very hard for me to, you know, to incorporate into my process.
Well, may I offer a perspective?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay. All right. So I did not like my father. I didn't like him from the first time I actually encountered him. He was always there, right? From the first time I got who he was, I didn't like him. And I didn't like him all of the rest of his life. But I really benefited from him in this one way. And that is that he embodied everything that I never wanted to be. And so I would offer you that, because there's no changing people's minds about anything. You know, they have their experience. They say what they want to say. And what you get from this is how incredibly painful it is when somebody does that to you, when they just express their opinion without any idea at all of, or any concern about how painful that is for you. And so rather than thinking that you're ever going to be able to convince them that that's not a good thing to do, perhaps just to take that in as a place of, you know, I never want to do that to anybody. I might do it, okay? But I'm going to work really hard not to, because I don't know what's going on with somebody else. I don't know their circumstances or how they feel or how they see something. And I don't want to put my stuff on somebody else in a way that could cause them that kind of pain.
That is very helpful.
Good. I'm glad.
That was very helpful. Thank you. You know,
because
I get wrapped up into, you know, defending. Immediately I get defensive.
Yeah.
But I've been to every of your concert, and I'm a good parent, and other people tell me I'm a good parent, and, you know, and, you know,
right.
And it's painful.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, depending, if you can do it without feeling like you're going to get pulled into defensiveness, to just perhaps say, especially to husband and daughter, gosh, that is so painful when you say that.
I think staying inside with the process. I mean, maybe I could try. I feel that that's vulnerable. I feel vulnerable to say that, you know.
Yes, you would be. You would be. But you would not be defenseless.
Right, right.
You would be vulnerable. You'd be absolutely letting people know how you feel. But from that place, Kim, nobody can hurt you.
Right.
Can you sense that?
I can. That's yeah. So helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You are most welcome. Sorry that happened to you.
Aw. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. And thank you, Jen. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Kim. And Sherry, that was amazing. Wow, that. Yes, you would be vulnerable, but you would not be defenseless. That's such an important distinction. That, I mean, it feels like a version of what we're surrendering. We're told what we're going to surrender there is, you know, me. And I mean, I'm not even sure how to articulate it, but what we're surrendering is the conversation. And without that conversation, we're not, I mean, we're vulnerable in the most amazing way, in that kind of invulnerable way.
Yeah. We're really surrendering ego.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Because the heart can never be harmed.
Right. Yeah, and gosh, it's a long story, but there are these beautiful quote cards that I actually don't want to say too much about because I don't think they're available anymore, but they are beautiful. And we have them in the dining hall. And
they are beautiful and we have them.
We have them. So come to the monastery and see them and we'll share them with you.
Yeah, you can read them.
But they're quotes from various, from email classes and from books and that sort of thing. And one of them that I love is that a heart that is completely surrounded by love cannot be harmed.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about. So,
Yeah.
Well, thank you for another magnificent show.
Thank you, Jen.
So lovely.
Thank you for everything. And thanks to everybody for everything.
Exactly. Yep. Go happy and treasure yourself.
There you go.
All right.
Good night.
Good night,
Jen.
Bye-bye.